Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
What's up, Fight fans? It's another edition of Inside Boxing Live. I'm your host, Dan Canobio, and we have a big show for you today. Fresh off his spectacular win on Saturday night, we have Isaac Dogbe on the show today. Really good interview with the up-and-coming star in the 122-pound division. He talks about his upbringing, being born in Africa, moving over to London, fighting in the Olympics. He's actually even going to Penn State University as a freshman. He's going to be the big man on campus. What he has in store, he wants to unify, big fights down the road with Oscar Valdez. Really good interview with Isaac Dogbe. Not going to want to miss that. Also, we'll review this past weekend's fights on ESPN. We saw a loaded card with Ray Beltran, Jose Pedraza in the main event. Pedraza came out on top. He'll go on to face Vasyl Lomachenko. Looks like that's going to happen December 1st at the Forum in L.A. Isaac Dogbe was also on that card. We'll talk a little more in depth on that. Michaela Mayer was also on that card. Women's boxing really starting to heat up, so we'll get deep into that in our In Case You Missed It segment. Also in that In Case You Missed It segment, I've got to talk about the latest on Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder. There was a little bit of discussions or some rumors that the fight may not happen. I think Tyson Fury quickly put that to bed on social media, as he usually does. So Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder, we're still waiting on a date and a venue. It's most likely going to be in Vegas, either in November or December. So what does that mean for Mikey Garcia and Errol Spence? We'll talk about that in our In Case You Missed It segment. But first, we have to start with Canelo and Triple G. The biggest fight on the calendar in 2018. And it's less than a month away. But you would not know that because there's been zero promotion for such a big fight. It's very strange. Trying to figure out why. And this past weekend, on Sunday, over in California, they had a open workout. So finally, things are starting to move along with this promotion. It's been very odd. Very strange promotion. They fought over a year ago. We all know what happened with Canelo and the failed drug test. That kind of really put a halt to the momentum that they had going for what was going to be a rematch on Cinco de Mayo. But we do have a fight. It's coming up September 15th on HBO pay-per-view, and we're starting to see things ramp up tonight, as we record this. But on HBO, you will see a 24/7, the first installment, and the promotion's starting to pick up, and it's been a strange promotion. And you hear a lot of rumblings from Golden Boy, and you hear a lot of rumblings from Triple G side. You actually hear a lot of talk from Triple G as he just continues this verbal onslaught for Canelo. But, a lot of times with these promotions, you can't just bank on the fact that the first fight did well. The first fight had a really good number on pay-per-view, did a great gate. So that means that the second fight will, at least start at that number. So they can guarantee $1.3 or $1.4 million pay-per-view buys. That's usually not the case. I feel like when you start a new promotion, you start from scratch. So right now it's been strange. There hasn't been a lot of talk this summer. They don't have a Mayweather-McGregor fight to kind of suck up all the attention. It's only them. NFL hasn't started, and it's about to pick up. The NFL is right around the corner. And once that gets going in, early September, that takes up a huge chunk of people's attention. But nevertheless, they got together on Sunday in California. They put on an open workout, and it was really interesting for a lot of reasons. One was all the talk that came from Triple G. I mean, I had to write them down because it just was like it just went on and on and on. Just these verbal punches there from Gennady Golovkin. He just said, "I am happy to get at Canelo again. It's another big chance to beat him again. Of course I want to knock out Canelo. It would be nice if Canelo came to fight this time. In the first fight, I did not feel any real power from Canelo, just slaps." He goes on to say, "The excuses they gave, their attitude, it's Canelo's reaction. It showed that they have no respect for the sport or the fans. They are fakes." It's unbelievable. I mean, he even went on to say that, "I love Mexican food," Triple G said. He said, "I love fighting for the Mexican fans. I have Mexican blood." he's really taking this Mexican style, and Triple G, and he's really running with it. So another thing too from for this meeting was that, you know, at least from what I was seeing on Twitter, I was not there, was the fact that it looked like there was an absolute frenzy for Triple G. In terms of fan frenzy, in terms of people wanting autographs, selfies, going nuts. Not the same for Canelo. I mean, Canelo's image is taking a huge hit between the failed drug test and how he fought in the first fight. I mean, it's pretty clear. I mean, yes, he still has his solid fan base of Mexican fans that are always going to root for Canelo. But those guys that are on the fence, those Mexican fans that look for the Mexican style, the way that Triple G fights, not the way that Canelo fights. It's a counterpuncher. I mean, he stole a lot of fans from Canelo. You know that has to irk Canelo Alvarez. But you see this, Canelo, he did not want to do the standard face-off during these promotional events. They don't want to do that face-to-face thing. I don't understand. I'm trying to come up with a reason why Canelo wouldn't want to do that, but I really don't. He doesn't want to do the HBO show with Max Kellerman, where they do the face, where they sit backwards in the chairs and they have that, you know, dramatic, you know, interviews, Max Kellerman. They don't want to do that either. You know, if it were up to Canelo and Golden Boy, they wouldn't do any type of promotion. I think they just really want to win this fight. They desperately need Canelo to win. They need him to put on a good performance so they can get back on track and start printing money like Canelo was doing previous to the Triple G Canelo fight. But that's it. That's my two cents on Triple G Canelo. It's the biggest fight on the calendar right now. You can make an argument that Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder, you know, maybe that's the second biggest fight, but that's not even announced yet. We have one big fight coming down the stretch here in the fall, and it's Triple G and Canelo. But we got a big show for you today. We got, in case you missed it, with a lot of big news and notes, and we also will talk to Isaac Dogbe, the rising star for Top Rank Boxing.
So he likes to bring an end to opponents in quick fashion. And Curtis Harper has walked out of the ring.
Wait, what?
I cannot believe this.
I've never seen this before.
He walked out of the ring.
He's not fighting this guy.
He walked out of the ring.
I've never seen this before in my life.
Curtis Harper has
in
walked
the fans
out
here in
of
Minnesota.
The ring.
All right, another busy week in the world of boxing. It's time for In Case You Missed It. No, I can't pull a Curtis Harper and walk out on my people. I gotta get paid, because when I walk out, I don't get paid. And if you've been living under a rock, you kind of miss what happened on Friday night on FS1 when Curtis Harper left the ring before the fight even started. Well, they rang the bell for the first round. He dipsets. He walks right out of the ring. I mean, our boy Ray Flores was on the call. He's never seen it before. I've never seen it before. I talked to my dad, president of CompuBox for the last 33 years. He's never seen anything even close to that. We've seen guys like not come out of the dressing room. Happened a few months ago with Haseem Rockman Jr. His opponent wouldn't come out of the ring. I'm out of breath right now. It's actually kind of pathetic. But Curtis Harper, he walked out, and we tried to get the inside scoop on him. We sent some texts out. No one's really talking about it. We couldn't get a hold of Curtis Harper. He doesn't want to talk about it, but apparently he cut his own deal for the fight. He agreed to the purse, but once he saw what he was getting paid after that he had to pay out his manager and his trainer and his whole team, that's when he made a decision that, you know what, I'm going to make a stand here, and I'm going to walk out of the ring. But what he really did, essentially, is his career suicide. Like, no promoter, no entity now is going to allow him to fight again. They lost a ton of money that night. It was a main event. It was on FS1. You just walk out of the ring like that? Out of control. I mean, this guy, it's not like the first time he's ever stepped into the ring. I mean, he's fought Gerald Washington. He's fought Chris Arreola. I mean, the guy's been in there with some of, you know, there's a fringe. Chris Arreola, of course, was former champion. But, you know, those are some good fighters. It's not like he was afraid of his opponent, even though his opponent is a blue-chip heavyweight prospect. I mean, it was a wild scene. It wasn't just, like, making the rounds on the boxing Instagram pages and the boxing Twitter pages. This was everywhere. I mean, this was on all ESPN. SportsCenter did something on it. I mean, this crosses over into the world of just truly a bizarre moment in life. Not just boxing, but, you know, Larry Merchant said it best. Boxing is the theater of the unknown. And Friday night on FS1, we saw something we've never seen before. So hopefully Curtis Harper can get everything all straightened out. I don't think we're going to be seeing him in a boxing ring anytime soon. But that was what happened on Friday night. Saturday night on ESPN, Top Rank had another show from Glendale, Arizona. No one walked out of the ring on Saturday night in Arizona. But Isaac Dogbe, I mean, he stole the show. on Saturday night on Top Rank, ESPN. I mean, the kid has the it factor. A TKO won. He knocked his opponent down two times with a devastating left hook in the first round. I mean, this thing was the left hook heard around the world. He said afterwards that he felt the power of God go through his left hand. He put on an amazing post-fight interview with Bernardo Osuna that had me wanting more. Like, I wanted to see more of Isaac Dogbay. Sorry, it's an interesting spelling, but Isaac Dogbay, I want to see more of him. What's next for him? I mean, Ray Vargas is out there, has a title. He wants more title belts. He wants more. Right now, he's the WBO Super Bantamweight champ. He wants them all. So I feel like a lot of fans want to see him. Of course, Top Rank has themselves another young champion of the charismatic, what could be a superstar. The kid's only 23 years old. I want to see more of him. He was in the first fight of the night. They move forward. Michaela Meyer, she looked really sharp in her win on Saturday night. Her opponent flew all the way from Hungary, and she was fighting in a skirt. I mean, if you just did the eye test, which I hate to do in boxing, Michaela Meyer, she had the size advantage. I mean, she had better attire, if that even matters. But she outlanded Edna Kiss 66-7. Wow. In four rounds. That's really, really hard to do. But she's inching her way towards bigger fights, and there are some big fights out there for the women's division. It's nice to see ESPN Top Rank kind of put on a women's fight, because she would fight a lot on the undercards that would usually on ESPN Plus. But we're seeing this more and more. Showtime is doing it with Shields. You're seeing more and more women on shows and getting more and more like big time slots on TV. In the main event of the evening, Ray Beltran, Jose Pedraza, a fight that had a lot of major implications. The winner of it would go up against Vasiliy Lomachenko in December for a unification bout, which means $1 million payday for both guys. So there is a big incentive for Pedraza, who's a former world champ, who fought, Gervonta Davis, got taken out in like two rounds by Gervonta Davis. He looked to bounce back, and did he ever bounce back, because he picked up the win, a decision which I thought was a lot closer than some of the cards. I saw like 117, 110 for a few cards. I didn't exactly see that. It was a close technical fight, a lot of inside fighting, a lot of grappling, but ultimately Pedraza's jab was the main factor in this. He had a 62-18 edge. Beltran just at the end of the rope. I mean, had a really good career, got the most out of his career that he possibly could. But you saw a 37-year-old guy who couldn't move that much in the ring, couldn't deal with the movement of Pedraza. I thought it was, a terrible match, a matchmaking job there for Beltran. I mean, tough opponent with Pedraza. But he also outlanded Beltran 27-15 over the last two rounds and kind of, secured the win. But now we're going to see Pedraza versus Lomachenko in December. I don't think Pedraza is going to beat Lomachenko. I didn't think Ray Beltran was going to beat Lomachenko, but it's a good unification bout. It'll be another nice little carrot for the resume of Vasiliy Lomachenko in December. He's coming back from a shoulder injury. In case you missed it, I don't know if you ever saw this, but Saur Rungvisai, who says he's going to wait to eat his fried pigeon grilled rat until he wins. He's fighting in October. I didn't even know this about Saur Rungvisai. I know that in Thailand they eat some interesting things there. And apparently you're eating, what is this? Grilled bandicoot rat and fried pigeon is a delicacy in Thailand right now. And so Saur Rungvisai says that he was going to wait until he wins. He said that you eat this meal every single day. He said it's my favorite since I was a kid. Reminds me of my childhood. My parents would always prepare these goodies every time they pick me up from the airport after a win. It's my victory meal. I honestly, it just sounds ridiculous. I mean, grilled bandicoot rat has become a popular delicacy in many of the provinces in Thailand, slowly turning into a lucrative industry due to its large demand. And we know that Saur Rungvisai is now like maybe one of the most popular fighters in Thailand. So everyone wants to be like him, and they want to eat the fried bandicoot. I mean, wow. He's fighting October 6th. He's going to be fighting Iran Diaz. And he won't be on the Superfly card, which was interesting. I guess this one championship event, it's going to be held in Thailand. I guess they're paying him more to fight in Thailand. Maybe he just wants to stay in Thailand so he can eat that grilled bandicoot the day after. But we'll not be seeing Saur Rungvisai on the Superfly card. He's fighting October 6th. So maybe October 7th, he'll get some fried bandicoot rat in the system and all will be well. With Saur Rungvisai, who's had a pretty tough year. Look up what happened to him with him and his girlfriend. We've all been there. So if a little bandicoot rap makes him feel better, I'm all for it. Moving forward here, we got Errol Spence and Mikey Garcia in danger of moving to 2019. This doesn't surprise me at all because this Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder locomotive is now pushing Spence Garcia out of 2018 because everything we saw about 3 weeks ago before that Wilder and Fury was even on the radar was that Mikey Garcia and Errol Spence were most likely going to fight in December. Showtime pay-per-view. I mean, it was the hottest topic in boxing for a solid week, week and a half after Mikey Garcia's win in his last fight. But now, Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder, much bigger fight. It'll be a pay-per-view. It's going to be in November, December, which is another thing we can touch on here is, you know, it hasn't been announced yet. There are some rumors floating around there that Tyson Fury's having issues and the fight is actually not going to happen this year. Maybe the first quarter of 2019. Shelley Finkel, who was the manager of Deontay Wilder, quickly shot that down and said that there will be an announcement coming up next week. But this is something that Frank Warren does. He kind of teases you. He, you know, in the ring, he wouldn't exactly say when the fight would happen. But, you know, from everything I'm hearing is that Fury-Wilder will happen in December. And also hearing that Mikey Garcia, Errol Spence will be tabled for the maybe the first quarter of 2019. Or maybe Mikey Garcia will come to his senses here and realize that there are some other winnable fights out there than rather than taking on Errol Spence. And that stinks for Errol Spence, a guy that only fought two times this year. You know, he had his defense back at home in Dallas in June. And then first fight of the year in January, he fought Lamont Peterson. You know, that's just a guy that's in his prime now, 27 years old. He's not exactly, you know, a young, up-and-coming guy now. He's in the prime of his career. He can't be fighting twice. He's got to be fighting three, four times, especially against some marquee opponents. So it's been a tough go of it for Errol Spence. I certainly feel for him, and he's got to move forward his career. He can't be waiting on Mikey Garcia and now waiting on you know, Sean Porter and Danny Garcia and all that. He's got to keep it going. But moving forward here, in case you missed it, the weekly Manny Pacquiao update. Wouldn't be it in case you missed it unless we gave you a Manny Pacquiao update. Apparently, Eddie Hearn and the DAZN team, they were in Boston promoting the Demetrius Andrade, BJ Saunders fight. And apparently some of Manny Pacquiao's his team showed up and they wanted to talk to Eddie Hearn. I've been saying this for the last month here on Inside Boxing Live. A Pacquiao DAZN deal makes all the sense in the world. I'm just beating a dead horse at this point because we all want to see Pacquiao versus Amir Khan, the fight that's been 10 years in the making. It can go down on DAZN. It can go down in the UK. It can finally happen. Pacquiao needs DAZN. DAZN needs Pacquiao. I'm all for this. Let's make it happen. Let's bring Manny Pacquiao to DAZN and give them that splashy fighter that they desperately need. That's it for another In Case You Missed It. We try to keep you up to speed here on Inside Boxing Live. Okay, our first guest here on Inside Boxing Live is brought to you by Jack Doyle's Restaurant and Bar, located on 35th and 7th in the heart of Manhattan. Hit them up. It's a big time for NFL football right around the corner. We've got the baseball home stretch. So go into Jack Doyle, tell him that the Inside Boxing Live crew sent you. Right now, we're going to bring in our first guest of the show. On Saturday night in Glendale, Arizona, he put on a show with a TKO 1. He is Isaac Dogbe, the Royal Storm, and he joins us right now on Inside Boxing Live. Isaac, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
How do you
feel?
Naho. You were saying that all fight. I mean, it took Bernardo Osuna after the fight. I said it took Bernardo Osuna a while to kind of figure out what it means. Can you share with us what exactly Naho means?
You know, Naho simply means to uproot from the ground. You know, when something is there, you are removing it at all costs. You know, it means that whoever that is standing in front of you, regardless how strong the person is, you are nehoing him from the ground. You are rooting him from the ground.
I mean, that's so what that's you did, too. That left hand uprooted your opponent. I mean, that was just really good work. And talk to us about your performance. Obviously, you're happy with it. How do you feel on Monday morning?
I feel great. You know, I mean, I thank God that, you know, I came out of the ring safely. And he gave us such a spectacular knockout victory over the weekend. And, you know, the fans were amazing. Arizona fans were great. They love boxing and they love good fight. They love great fight. I also want to say thank you to ESPN for Barham and Top Rank, you know, for putting on such a great show. And the entire global fans, you know, look, I'm so humbled by the support and, you know, and the people of USA fans have been great. Look, I don't even know how to say this, but I'm just so humbled and grateful for the support and the love that I've received from everyone.
All right, Isaac, after that dominating performance on Saturday night, do you feel like the fans now are going to get behind you a little more? You're going to have more support, more recognition now?
Yes, most definitely. You know, I feel that I'm becoming the first pay-per-view star ever to come out of Africa, you know, and this is just the beginning. You know, we just have to keep working hard, just have to keep on, you know, keep up the good work, keep knocking people out, you know, and keep the competition at a high end and keep the humility, you know, and the people themselves, they just fall in love with you automatically. You just have to keep doing the great work, and I can't wait to get back on ESPN.
All right, obviously Bob Arum is your promoter, legendary promoter in the fight game. What did you know about Top Rank, and more specifically, what did you know about Bob Arum?
Well, you know, Bob Arum, everybody knows Bob Arum, man, from the days of Muhammad Ali, you know.
Yeah.
You know, from the days of Azuma Nelson. He's one of the best promoters, you know, one of the best of the best of promoters in the business. He's the godfather of boxing. And, you know, me meeting him, it was such an inspiration. You know, this man has got a great resume of fighters, Hall of Fame fighters, great fighters out there. And me meeting him, and you know, the way he embraced me, oh man, I just saw, you know, and the great words that he said about me, it was amazing.
So what was it like when Bob Arum made that phone call to you and told you that you were going to be part of the Top Rank family? Take us through the emotions and everything that went through that. I mean, it had to be just an unbelievable feeling to get a call from a legendary promoter like Bob Arum.
Well, you know, it's everything. When I was going to fight with Jesse Mike Delano, we knew that was going to be a tough fight.
Mm-hmm.
We also knew the risks and the benefits that came with it. You know, so they gave us a three fight option, three fight options. So we took it. We was like, you know what? We love it. We knew we're gonna take this fight. We're gonna knock out Jesse Mike Delano. You know, we actually said we're going to knock out Jesse Mike Delano. And after we did knock him out, you know, we were like, you know what? We love how you fight. We love your character. We love everything about you. So we are looking forward to renegotiating with you, and we really wanted to be a Top Rank. So it was a great decision that, you know, that we took.
Yeah, that must have been awesome. But tell us a little bit about your upbringing. I was reading up on you a little bit, and I knew that you were born in Ghana, obviously, and then you were actually moved to the same town as Azuma Nelson and Ike Corte. I'm sure they were heroes for you. But from there, you moved to London. Can you just give us a little bit about your upbringing here?
No, I'm not from the area where Azuma Nelson is from or where Aikota is from. I was born in Ghana, mm-hmm. Anyako, in the Volta region, and you know, I moved to London, England at a very tender age, around like 8 years old, and yeah, that's where I grew up. You know, had all my education and everything. That's where boxing, amateur boxing, started for me. And you know, I won three national championships in England, you know, before finally representing the London 20 Olympic Games for Ghana. And yeah, everything just kind of like, you know, I had a very bad experience in the Olympic Games, and my corner changed, and yeah, we just had to put everything behind us and look towards the future. And that's me. That was me turning pro in 2013, and now I'm 18 years old, and now world champion at 23.
Unbelievable. I mean, obviously, you were born in Ghana, and you have the flag in your corner, and you're very proud of that. But what do you identify yourself as a fighter? Are you more, do you think yourself as a Ghana fighter or a London fighter?
Well, you know, I always say that I was born in Ghana, but raised in Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Queen of Country has done great to me. You go to school free, you know, everything that you do, you know, everything is at your disposal. That's where boxing started for me, you know, from England. And, you know, Ghana obviously is my roots. And in all things, you've got to have a great foundation, you know. So, you know, without your roots, then you're nothing. You can't, when a wind blows, you'll fall. So it's great to have a great roots, and also make the best out of everything that, you know, comes in your way. And the great, both nations have done great to me, and I'm very, very appreciative.
So what's the boxing scene like in Ghana?
You know, as of now, boxing has risen. Boxing is back on a global stage, and we thank God that myself and my team were able to revive that, you know, to revive Ghana boxing once again.
I read something recently that said that you were a little upset with Ghana and the fact that you're not receiving the proper amount of recognition. Now, do you think that will change after this performance and the fact that now you're signed with Top Rank? Do you see yourself getting some more sponsorships, getting some more recognition in your home country?
Well, yeah, of course, definitely. You know, the country, Ghana, they love me, you know. I just, the boxing community, you know, that's, I don't know the reason why, but maybe it could be the fact that I'm not from the Bukom area, you know, because, you know, many people in the boxing community believe that boxing, in order for you to be a great fighter, you have to come from Bukom, the Bukom area, which isn't so. So I've been, you know, Muhammad Ali isn't from Bukom. Mike Tyson isn't from Bukom, you know. Mayweather isn't from Bukom. So Isaac Dogbe, I'm not from Bukom, but look, we're doing great in the sports. And, you know, my father has had to borrow a lot of money, you know, to on this mission of us reviving boxing in Ghana, and he's been able to do it single-handedly.
Wow.
You know, so it's all it comes with a cost, and that's one thing we have to have to pay back our debts. You know, which I believe that if you've represented a country at international level, you know, going to the Olympics and everything, sponsorship shouldn't be an issue, shouldn't be a problem, you know. But as of now, that's where we are. That's the position that we're in at the moment. But we know that all things are possible. All we have to do is just keep working out, keep knocking our opponents out. And we know that, you know, we'll be in the right place.
Now, in that fight afterwards, you said that that left hand that knocked down your opponent early on in round number one, you said you felt the power of God go through your left hand. If you don't mind, can you just explain what that must feel like for the fans at home?
Well, you know, like I said, everybody can train. Everyone does training. You know, Otake is very strong. You know, physically, he was in top condition. Everybody, you saw him,
mm-hmm.
you know, all his previous fights. You know, even his last fight, he knocked out his opponent. And one thing I always say is that it's God that gives victories. He's the one that makes champions. And my uncle, Prophet Wogbilehu of the ARS Church, you know, every time I enter into a fight, he puts me into confinement. He prays for me, and I go out there, and great things happen. So walking into that four corner of the ring, I know that nothing can touch me. I know I'm going there in full confidence. Cause I know that I feel strong, I feel powerful, and you know, the spirit of God, the spirit of our ancestors are with me. The Holy Spirit is with me. The war spirit is with me. So all I have to do is just walk in there with confidence. Walk in confidence and go out there and do what we have to do. And when I threw that punch, you know, I just felt that surge of, you know, power. And then the Holy Spirit just pushed it, you know, added, just pushed it all the way through. And Otake was down. Yeah, I mean, it was, I felt great.
All right, Isaac, so when do you want to get into the ring again? I mean, you only fought one round on Saturday night. I'm sure you're dying to get back in there. Do you want to fight maybe two or three more times? What are your immediate plans for 2018?
Most definitely. You know, already we spoke with Don Bob Arum. He made us understand that, you know, we'll be having more fights before the year ends. Now I don't mind. No, I'm ready for even two more fights before the year ends. You know, even two or three.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we've trained so hard. You know, and then we came up round one. yeah, so it felt more like a sparring session. No, my sparring sessions are even tougher. You know, than. And this, so just really, really, at this moment, I'm just enjoying, you know, the fight. Because you put your body through so much stress in training. I enjoy the fights more than the training.
What about making weight? Do you have issues getting down to 122 pounds, or is it easy for you?
Well, you know, it's challenging a little bit, but once we get into the groups, we keep it going. And so we're looking forward to. You know, my father, he knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his everything sorted out. He knows about nutrition and dieting and everything. So, yeah, that's we don't really have to work that much when a fight is coming up. Or when the fight is announced, all we have to do is just concentrate on losing the weight.
All right, a lot of times in boxing, people like to jump ahead and they kind of try to project where a fighter will be in the prime of his career. And I know after the fight, you made it pretty clear that you want to unify 122 before maybe you move up to 126 or 130. There's a lot of good champions out there. Who are some of the names that you're circling if you want to do unify this title?
You know, Ray Vargas, the WBC champion.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Roman, WBA champion. Look, I'm looking forward to unifying against any of these guys, man. Look, they are the champions out there, you know, and it'll be a great fight. I know that Mexicans, they love the challenge, they love to fight, and I know the fans out there will also want to fight, and I know that TV loves great fights. Mm-hmm. You know, the best fighting the best, and Ray Vargas is a great Mexican fighter. Daniel Roman is a great Mexican fighter. And all these guys, I know they're not scared. It's just they are promoters that are trying to keep them not fighting the best spot. Look, but I know that the fighters themselves are willing to fight. So whoever is promoting them, they should make the fight happen. And then let's get the fight going. Let's make it happen. Let's go, man. Let's get it on.
No, I 100% agree. Every every boxing fan would 100% agree with you saying, Isaac. Let's just make the best fight the best. But as you know, the politics in boxing are just ridiculous. But you have a good promoter with Bob Arum. What about a name like Oscar Valdez? I mean, I went on Twitter right after your fight, and I saw a lot of people tweeting about maybe down the road one day, Isaac Dogbe versus Oscar Valdez on ESPN. I'm sure you would love to have a fight like that, wouldn't you?
Look, I would love that fight. I would love that fight. When that day comes, everyone will know that I come from a warrior family. You know, Oscar Valdez fought Scott Quigg, right?
Yeah.
And Scott Quigg fought Hidenori Otake, right?
Mm-hmm.
Otake took Scott Quigg to 12 rounds. And Scott Quigg took Valdez to 12 rounds, right?
Right.
Yeah. So when Isaac Dogbe faces Oscar Valdez, look, you're going to witness the power and the strength of God, you know, coming into the fight. And everybody's going to be wondering, who the hell is this young kid? Who the hell is this little man? You know, so I'm looking forward to it. I love it. You know, I love the challenge.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, the best how to fight the best. You know, once we get in there with a formidable opponent, we get in there with someone who's equally as good, someone who can also, once we get into 50-50 fight, that's what brings out that warrior, you know, personality out of you. That's what brings that sort of thing out of you. That's what wants you to, you know, wants you to get. That's what puts you into the groove. Mm-hmm. You know, like you're willing to even die in the ring. That's sort of feeling that we want, and that's what the fans want to see. You know, everybody wants exciting fights. You know, what's better than two people staying in the ring and going toe to toe? You know, it's like a Hollywood movie.
Yeah.
You know, you see the blood splashing everywhere. You know, that's the sort of things that we want to see, man. We love it. It brings the adrenaline out of you. You know, so yeah, I love it, man. I know Valdez is a great fighter. He's also a top rank. Mm-hmm. You know, he's strong. He's a young man. So yeah, it'll be exciting. It'll be a great fight. Right now, you know, at this minute, we just want to unify the 122 division and then move up to 126. But whoever, you know, whatever decision Don Bombarum comes up with and Rising Star Africa Promotions come up with, you know, yeah, that's what we'll go with, you know.
So who are some of the fighters that you grew up liking, Isaac? I mean, you had this warrior mentality, so clearly you're a student of the game. Who are some of the fighters that you grew up watching that you had your dad put in front of you?
You know, my father got me into boxing, and, you know, he's the one, he doubled as my trainer. And, yeah, I looked up, he always made me watch a lot of great fighters, the likes of Azuma Nelson, the likes of James, the likes of Tony, a bit of Mayweather, Muhammad Ali, you know, you watch Roberto Duran, you know, Julio Cesar Chavez, wow. You know, Johnny Tapia. You know, so we watch many, many fighters, you know, and that's what it brings, you know, all the tactics you have to, you're able to pick something from each fighter and bring it all together into one, you know, and mold into one. And yeah, I love it, you know. Some of them, you know, Mike Tyson, some of them, you can just stand there and take a shot with their head, you know, stick their head out. Evander Holyfield, you know, Golden Boy, you know, many of these guys, you know, they're great fighters. And yeah, really looked up to a lot of them.
All right, so it's clear you're a big fan of the sport. So, let's just say you're a spectator. You can get any ticket out there right now, any fight that's not made or maybe it is made. Which fight do you want to see the most?
Ah, man, Anthony Joshua and Deontay Wilder.
Oh, wow.
I think that would be a hell of a fight.
Who do you like in that one?
Ah, man, I would say may the best man win. But look.
Diplomatic answer.
I know Anthony Joshua is a puncher, you know.
Yeah.
If Anthony doesn't knock Deontay Wilder out, Wilder will win by points.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, we got Triple G and Canelo coming up in mid-September, probably the biggest fight on the calendar. Who do you like in that one, Isaac?
I'm a big fan of Canelo. You know, I'm a big fan of Canelo, right? So I'm going for Canelo.
I see a lot of people are picking Canelo in this rematch, and that has to do with his youth, but he also hasn't been in the ring in over a year. Do you think ring rust is going to play a role in this upcoming fight?
Well, you know, look, when a fighter is not hasn't been in a ring for a year, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's not working behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are sparring, you know. Sometimes the sparring sessions are more brutal than the fight itself. You know, so they're able to sharpen the tools. Everything comes with his camp, you know, how they are training him. So that shouldn't be a problem. If, for example, if I hadn't been in the ring for a year, my father isn't, the way my father will train will be the same. Like, we preparing for a fight. So the sparring and the pad work and all the training will shadow the fact that we are going to fight. So just be prepared, you know. That shouldn't be a problem. Nice. You just go out there. Once you get into the ring, you get into the arena, you know, you've got that past experience already. So you will even feel more refreshed, mm-hmm. You know, you're tired of life of fight. So I don't think it will be a problem.
Isaac, do you have dreams of ever moving to the United States? I know that you've fought here a few times, so where would it be? Where would you like to settle down if you do make the move?
Well, you know, I was based in California.
You like it there, right?
Sometimes I loved it in California. And right now, at this moment, I'm in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, because I'll be going to Penn State University. Next year.
Well, you're going to Penn State College, right?
Yeah, main campus.
Wow, man. Is this your first time? I mean, have you taken college courses before, or are you going to be going in as a freshman?
As a freshman, yeah.
Wow, you're going to be the big man on campus. Not many freshmen walking around that campus have fought on ESPN with knocking people out. So are you looking forward to being on campus? You know, Penn State, that's a really big school, top football team. You know, you got to be looking forward to getting to Happy Valley.
Yeah. I went there before the fight. You know, just a tour around the place, man, it's beautiful.
Wow.
And I can't wait. You know, thing we always, you know, the family I come from, although we are warriors, they also take a lot of value in education. So I've got to make, you know, the two work hand in hand.
That's really cool. And I heard you say on Saturday night you were talking to Carl Moretti. You brought up a Bugatti. Are you going to show up on campus at Penn State with the Bugatti?
That's a Bugatti that I messed up, man. That guy tricks you. Carl Moretti tricks you, man. You know.
That's a $3.5 million car.
He asked me to spell Bugatti, and then he gave me a Bugatti, and you know, I was like, you know, I thought it Bugatti.
Boom.
I was like, no, that's what I'm spelling.
Isaac Dogbay, you are the man. I appreciate you coming on the show. Good luck in your fall semester at Penn State, and we got to get you back on the program soon.
Thank you. But you know, all this is just fun and games, you know, fun and jokes. And you know, our main purpose is to give back to humanity. I believe that's our services. Our services to God is to serve humanity. And you know, really looking forward to giving back to society. You know, because ultimately they are less privileged people who are out there that need more. You know, more than what they have right now.
Awesome mentality. I 100% agree with you, Isaac. I really appreciate you coming on the show, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. All right, take care. God bless.
That's it for another edition of Inside Boxing Live. A special thanks to our guest, Isaac Dogbay, for coming on the show. Great job from our super producer, Nick Canobio. But before we say goodbye, we have to honor the life of Senator John McCain, who passed away over the weekend. You all know the life story of Senator John McCain fighting in the Navy. He was a prisoner of war for over 5 years in Vietnam. Just an unreal story, a great character, and he served his country really well. And a lot of people don't know that he was the boxing senator. He was a huge boxing fan growing up. He actually participated in a lot of Gold Glove events. He also fought in the Navy. He was a coach in the Navy. And that just went on after he returned home to the United States and he became a senator in Arizona. He was very involved in the sport of boxing. A lot of people don't even know that it was Senator John McCain who was behind the Muhammad Ali Act that we see in boxing today, which helps boxing gets full disclosure for boxers. Before this, promoters, managers, they didn't have to disclose the amount of money that a show was making. They didn't have to disclose the amount of money they were getting from a network. But once the Muhammad Ali Act became into place behind Senator John McCain, fighters now knew exactly how much the managers were making, the promoters were making. So he wanted to do this. He wanted to, a huge boxing fan, our friend of the show, Lou DiBella, who got to know Senator John McCain in the late 90s when he was at HBO. They became friends. They worked tirelessly on the Muhammad Ali Act. There was actually a time where Senator John McCain wanted to be the commissioner of boxing. He actually brought it to the Senate floor, or wanted to bring it to the Senate floor. You fast forward to 2012, Manny Pacquiao versus Tim Bradley, their first fight, a fight that everyone knows that Manny Pacquiao won. He was so pissed off with the decision on that he wanted to bring it to the Senate floor. So that was like the side story of John McCain that not a lot of fans knew about. We know he was a big sports fan, but the guy loved boxing. And of course, what are the odds that they were in Glendale, Arizona, the home state of Senator John McCain, on Saturday night for ESPN Boxing? They did the customary 10-bell salute for a man that served his country and was a friend of boxing. We'll see you next week.